Please turn in God's holy word to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Our text for the sermon today is going to be verses 14 and 15. But I would like to read the chapter and give you the context as we prepare. Hear God's holy word, Ephesians chapter 4. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling to which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with longsuffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plottings, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good, for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Here ends the reading of God's holy and inspired word, and may he bless that reading to our hearts and to our minds. Let's pray. Our Father, as we come before you today, even to hear from a portion of this word, we pray, O Lord, that your Spirit would give us understanding, that hearts would be opened to hear your word, that those that have not found themselves in submission to Christ would find themselves converted, that those who are struggling with needed forgiveness would find themselves pardoned, that those who are in need of rebuke from your word would find themselves rebuked, and that those who are in need of that great comfort that the scriptures give us would be comforted. Unto the glory of Jesus. Amen. As Pastor Britton and I have gotten to know each other over the past couple of years, we've found that our congregations have quite a bit in common. We're both confessionally Reformed churches. I think that that's something that stands at the heart of what unites us as brothers and sisters in Christ, is that we confess the same things. We have the same doctrinal standards as churches. We are confessional churches. The Orthodox Presbyterian Church and the Reformed Presbyterian Church of North America have a long history of being friends. I know that as one who studies church history, especially within the Reformed Presbyterian Church, I've read the minutes of synod that when Machen and company found themselves in need of counsel, that they came to their older brother, the Reformed Presbyterian Church, and we have had relationships even from the beginning. Our congregations over the years have also shared families and shared friendships. There have been members here that have grown up in my congregation, and there have been members at my congregation that have ended up here, and we've cross-pollinated in some ways. The elders and I were just talking about that in the other room, how one of the elders here and one of our deacons grew up together in the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. So we've shared friendships and we've shared families, and we ought to continue to foster that, of course. And we both take the worship of God seriously. We both reach out to those around us. We both seek to have ministry to the colleges that are close to us. We're both growing congregations as well. And we've both seen the Lord bless the ordinary means of grace. And as a result, the congregations, both yours and mine, have grown unto the glory of God. And today what I would like to do is to look with you at Ephesians 4, verses 15 and 16, under this title, Counsel to a Growing Church. Counsel to a Growing Church. Let's hear this text again. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. This section of chapter 4 flows from this larger section of Ephesians that we've read this morning that deals with unity within the body of Christ. And from that idea of a unified body of Christ flows this idea that the church, those who are members of the church, each have gifts. There is a diversity of gifts within the body. And we know that as we look around congregations and we seek to say, what are the things for which you are gifted or with which you are gifted, and how can they be used to serve the church? And as we talk about diversity of gifts, we can talk about ministry. We can talk about capital M ministry, those that are ordained to office, those that are doing the work of ministry, either the ministry of the word or the ministry as those that rule as elders, or the ministry of those that serve as deacons, the teaching and serving offices of the church. But we could also talk about lowercase M ministry, which is the ministry that we all do, that we're all called to, those unto one another duties that are found within the life of the church. And today what the apostle does is he takes this idea of ministry and he moves us to consider Jesus Christ in the midst of this discussion. In the midst of this discussion, we find a growing church. And this growing church is one that has her eyes set on the person and work of Jesus Christ. So we're going to look at this counsel to a growing church today. And we're going to do it under two headings. That's just to throw us off as Reformed people. We're going to have two headings instead of three. We're going to begin this morning with the first part of verse 15, where Paul says, "Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ." So our first heading then this morning is that we see the speech of the growing church. The speech of the growing church. Notice how the apostle begins in verse 15 with the word rather. You see that in your Bible, rather. So Paul turns the counsel to a growing church towards the speech of the church, and he begins with rather. Now what he's doing is he's connecting this thought, this rather and that which follows, to something that he's already said, something that has gone before him. And notice what it's connected to. There's verse 14, and then the word rather, and then what follows is this discussion of speech. So what it's connected to is this idea of there are some who are tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. And there are those that are moved by human cunning, by deceitfulness, and by schemes. So the speech of a growing church is contrasted with those men that build the church using these methods that are found in verse 14. Being tossed to and fro by changing doctrine. Human cunning. Cunning is using skill to deceive. You can think of the serpent in the garden. Schemes are planned and affected programs using to get ideas in place. And it's a negative word, isn't it? And there's a lot of churches where we don't necessarily know what they believe. But we see the programmatic approach to filling pews. But you could ask, like, so what do you believe concerning this? And they say, well, you know, we don't want to focus on those things. Paul here says that the growing church has a speech in mind. There's a certain way that we communicate. And it's contrasted with that methodology of deceit. Now, that's not to say every program in the church is deceit. But that's to say that there are those that even in the Apostle Paul's day are using certain schemes to win hearts rather than using communication to win hearts. Rather shows us that contrast. And it is contrasted with speaking the truth. So Paul tells the Ephesians that there's a certain speech in the growing church that is contrasted with this doctrinal being tossed to and fro. And those are contrasted. Speaking the truth versus being tossed around. What does this tell us about this phrase, speaking the truth? Well, it tells us that Paul is not speaking primarily to us as individuals, but he's speaking to us corporately as the church. He's saying that the church corporately is to speak truth. Sometimes we take this verse, speaking the truth in love, and how do we apply it? We think of it primarily as individual, as our individual application for how we speak truth. And yet, that's not how Paul uses it, even though we could make that personal application. He says that there is a unified and diverse body that we call the church of Jesus Christ, and that church, those who are called out of the world, are to speak the truth together. We corporately profess truth. There is a Catholicity to our profession of faith, isn't there? This is why we shouldn't have difficulty using that word Catholic in the Apostles' Creed. Some are thrown back by that. Why do we still use that? Can't we just change that to universal? We shouldn't have a problem with that because there is a Catholicity for those that profess the truth. Even this Catholicity that is spoken of here, this corporate profession of truth, that Catholicity is even being demonstrated today as you've welcomed a non-OP to your pulpit, and my congregation is welcoming a non-RP to our pulpit. And that may not seem like a big deal to us that have had relationships for a long time, our denominations. But I'll tell you, a couple of weeks ago when our presbytery was meeting and Pastor Britton was there representing your denomination and your presbytery, we had a young student from our congregation who has come out of a Baptist church, and the biggest encouragement and the biggest takeaway for him from presbytery was that we care what other Reformed churches are doing, that we welcome other Reformed churches to give greetings and to say what is going on in the lives of their churches. And that shows something of this Catholicity, where we both profess the truth of the historic Reformed faith. So the speaking the truth as a church, it's not only connected to times of fellowship or times outside of corporate worship where we remind our children to speak the truth and to speak the truth in love, but it's a corporate profession. It's a corporate responsibility that when we are gathered here together in worship on the Lord's Day, we profess together that we are part of that body that is called the church. We speak truth together. The Word of God is the foundation for that, isn't it? If we're called to speak the truth, the Word of God is that which we must corporately profess. And the growing church is a church that asks good questions. Good questions like, so what does the Bible, what does this book teach us about humanity? Because people are hungry to know the truth. Or what does this book teach us about God? What does this book teach us about the character of God? Or what does this book teach us about the way of salvation? How is man made right with God. Can you go to this book and show what we profess? What does this book say about the church? Why do we gather like this? Why do we sing and worship? Why do we do the things that we do? This book tells us, and we gather together to profess that as the church. What does the Bible say? What does this book say about how we live in this world as believers? What does this book say about how things will end, what we call the last things? You see, the growing church asks good questions. And the growing church has answers for those questions that are founded on the Word of God. You have friends in other churches that probably without even realizing it are spiritually starving. I said I was at a home mission board meeting and we were getting a report from one of our church plants that's in Casper, Wyoming. And I have no idea where that is, but maybe some of you kids know where it is. But the church planter from Casper, Wyoming reported that there had been a number of people coming to this tiny little awkward Reformed Presbyterian church in Casper, Wyoming, wherever that is. And they were coming from the large mega church within the community, and they came saying, "We're hungry. We're starving." Friends, the growing church is a church that does not tickle ears, but answers the questions that people have, those questions that are a part of us because we are people. Who are we? How are we made right with God? What are the ultimate answers to the questions of life? Friends, you have those answers unto the glory of God. This is what is at the heart of what it means to be a confessing church. We stand on God's Word. And we confess that which the Scriptures confess. We profess those truths and those faithful summaries of God's holy Word. And we do that corporately. We come together and we say, this is what we believe. And how is that done? How would Paul have us to do this? What does the text say? How do we mutually confess truth together? Paul says the church does it in love. Love is the central Christian character trait, isn't it? Love is that which flows from a heart that has been converted, a heart that has been redeemed, a stony heart replaced with a heart of flesh, is able to love God and to love our neighbor. And the Apostle Paul here says that we are to profess the truth in love. The Lord Jesus said that the world will know us by our love. Does the community around you, congregation, know that you profess the truth in love? Now, does this mean that hard things are not said? Of course not. Does it mean that from this pulpit, hell is never preached about? Of course not. Does it mean that from this pulpit, you never talk about Reformed theology or what we call distinctives? Of course not. The church is called to speak the truth, and the church is called to speak all of the truth. We call it the whole counsel of God. And as the whole counsel of God is taught from week to week, we do so in love. We do it because we love God that we gather to worship, and we love our neighbor, that which bears the image of God. Sometimes you will hear things from young Reformed guys about their opinions of what is loving and what is truth. We have a number of young, theologically minded men in our congregation. Nothing against you women. You are just much kinder in your 20s than men generally are. But I've heard this statement about speaking the truth, and it usually comes from these young guys in their 20s that John Piper would say are in a cage phase, you know, where someone's new to the Reformed faith, and you take them and you lock them in a cage for a few years so they're not out doing damage within the church. But you'll hear this statement at times from these guys. They'll say, speaking the truth is love. That's not true. That's not what Paul is saying here. Paul is saying that we are to speak the truth, and there's a way in which we do it. We don't just speak the truth and just let people fall all around us. We speak the truth in love. Do you know the name Robert Murray McShane? Robert Murray McShane was a minister in the Free Church of Scotland. And you may know him from his Read the Bible in a Year program, the McShane Reader, or as I like to call it, the Bible Reading Olympics, because there's so many chapters that he has you reading a day. But there's more to Murray McShane than the Bible reading program. He was one of the golden-tongued preachers of the 19th century. He was an extremely godly young minister, and he was dead by the age of 26. He has many, many sermons that have been published, and they're fantastic. I would recommend them to you. But there's this one time when a young Robert Murray McShane was asking another minister within the Free Church what he was preaching on. And the other minister looks at McShane and he says, I'm preaching on the doctrine of hell. And McShane, as the story goes, looks him in the eyes and he says, I hope that you're doing it with tears. Friends, we speak the truth in love. We corporately confess truth out of love for truth, and out of love for the image of God which is on our neighbors, and out of love for God, and out of love for dying sinners. We profess that truth, and we do it in love. You see, as you share God's word with those around you, you should do it as though you are a beggar showing other beggars where to find bread. It is the love of Christ that compels us to speak the truth. And the speech of a growing church is a speech that is a mutual confession of truth for the sake of Christ. And we speak it out of love for Christ and out of love for our neighbor. And here this text tells us that as we do this, we grow up in every way into Him who is the head, who is Christ. You see that? He says, we speak the truth in love, and as we speak the truth in love, we find ourselves growing up as a church. It is counsel to a growing church. We speak the truth in love, and therefore we grow up. We leave infancy. We grow into Christ, who is our head. The church that is growing professes the truth. And we see that we are not just a set of doctrines. We see that in our second heading this morning. The service of the growing church. The service of the growing church. Notice the end of verse 14 and verse 15. Paul says, "From whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." So we move from speaking. And that speech is connected to the head, to service, and from the head into the body. So our speech connected to the head, and from the head flows service to the body. As we've said, the body is growing into Christ. We are united to Christ. And from that union, we find ourselves growing up into the head. And that's strange language, isn't it? You find a body growing up into a head. That's strange. That's strange language. Have you ever looked at a baby and thought, "Now there's a huge head"? Now, I won't lie, I've thought it, and those of you that know me know I may have said it. But that's how Paul sees the body here of the church. He sees the church as a baby growing up into the head. We're growing into Christ. And we need to realize that the head, as the head is connected to the whole body, we have Jesus Christ, who is the source, and the head, or the body, cannot live without the head. We're connected to the head, or we die. The body, the church, must stay connected in union with Christ, or it ceases to be a church. And as Paul talks about this body, he connects it to giftings, to diversity of giftings. We have a diversity of giftings that is part of our calling as Christians. Not everyone here is called to be a preacher. Not everyone here is called to be an elder. Not everyone here is called to be a deacon. Not everyone here is called to be a prayer warrior. Not everyone here is called to be one of those that labor quietly. Not everyone here is called to be a Sunday school teacher or an encourager or the financial backbone of the church. Not everyone here is called to be one that writes music to which our songs are sung. Not everyone here is an evangelist. We're not all printers of bulletins. We're not equally concerned with the poor. We're not all administrators. We're not all servants at fellowship lunches. We're not all scrubbers of toilets. And you know what? That's okay. Because we have a diversity of gifts within the life of the church. And we are to use that gift which God has given to you in the life of the service of the body. You see, the body is connected. The parts of the body are connected. All of that service is connected to Christ. From the greatest of service, which is the scrubbing of toilets, to the least of service, which are those that govern in the church. All of this service is connected to the head. And we must understand that in the life of the church. Have you ever thought about what you do to serve the church and find yourself maybe comparing it with somebody else? See, you know, I do this, but they do that. You know, I'm happy to pray for the pastor, and I'm happy to pray for the elders, but, you know, it's so awesome that so-and-so's over here doing this. Friends, we can't do that. Because all service in the life of the church is connected. It's all connected to the head. And I would challenge you even today to begin to think of your life of service within this congregation as service connected to your union with Christ. If you are in Christ, if you are in union with Christ, that way in which you serve this congregation is connected to that union with Christ. Because Paul here tells us that service flows from the head. It flows from that union. Have you thought about your service in the church in that way? When you teach, maybe if you teach Sunday school, do you teach from union with Christ? And do you think about your teaching as flowing from your union with Christ? When the church is vacuumed, whoever vacuums this church, do you think of your vacuuming as being connected to your union with Christ? Deacons, when the collection is counted from week to week, is it done from this position of you being in union with Christ? And when mercy needs come up in the life of this church, are they provided for from union with Christ? As encouragement is needed, and as you speak to one another, either at the coffee time or maybe at fellowship lunch following, do you do so from your union with Christ, encouraging one another? With that mindset, I'm doing this because we're connected, because we're both connected to Christ. This is what you are to do as a growing church. Understand your role within a growing church. We are the body of Christ. And we serve from that position, and we need one another in our service. There was a saying that was used when I was a kid, but I don't know if it's PC anymore. We're not all chiefs. Not everyone can do the same thing. But we need to put aside that mentality that orders things in levels of importance, however you would order it. And understand that each one here is called to serve the body with giftings that God has given you. Giftings that He's given you and not given me. And not given Pastor Britton. Again, I said I was at board meetings this week. Crown and Covenant has 8 board members, 4 of whom are pastors. And when the budget starts going, is being gone over, you know, they project it on the wall and they're talking numbers. And you can see all 4 of the pastors begin to just drift off. It's usually not our giftings. That's good. Because we're not all the same. We're not all called to serve Christ with the same giftings. But we are all called to serve. And we are all called with giftings. We understand as a growing church, part of that growth is growing up in our union with Him, growing into the head. We know that this connection, this growth can only happen when we find ourselves in union with Christ, when our sin has been imputed to His account and His righteousness imputed to our account. That's central to our callings. You see, we're not saved unto ourselves. One of the greatest questions that you can ask yourself is, what is your salvation for? Why have you been saved? And the answer is, it's for service. It's for service to the King, and it's service to the body, to one another. And when this body is connected and when this body is working properly, the church is being built up in love. Paul says that elsewhere in 1 Corinthians, he says, "For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as He chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the hand to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which are more giving greater honor to the part that lacked it. That there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it." See, that's what Paul's saying. You kind of laughed when I said the toilet scrubbers are the greatest. That's what Paul's saying. He says the parts that are the least honorable, we give greater honor to. And the parts that are unpresentable, we deal with more modestly than the presentable parts. Congregation, you need each other. You are connected to Christ and you are connected to one another. You need the head. You need to be growing into the head, who is Jesus Christ. In order to be a growing church and a healthy church, each member must assess his or her connection to the head and ask, how are you growing into that head and how are you serving one another? And again, we don't push ourselves into the best spots. We do so in love. We take on the form of a servant and we serve one another out of that union. How did Jesus demonstrate that service? He did it with a towel and a bowl of warm water, didn't he? We serve one another in love and we speak the truth corporately. In love, the speech of a growing church, and the service of a growing church, both flowing from the head, flowing from union with Christ, and both done in love out of a display of the character that Christ has shown to us. Congregation, what will your speech be? What will your service be? Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would take these words and you would apply them unto our hearts and unto our minds. And Lord, if there are those here who do not understand the union with Christ of which we spoke, draw them to their elders, draw them to their pastor, that they may ask, may your Spirit convert hearts. And Lord, may each one of us consider his or her service within the church, the way in which we find ourselves functioning within the body. And may we do so in love unto the glory of Christ. May we be people who corporately speak the truth unto one another in love and into the world with love as well, for the sake and glory of Jesus. Amen.